This morning, turn in your Bibles today to Exodus chapter 8, please. Exodus chapter number 8. I want to preach this morning from a passage here in the book of Exodus that is preached from quite often when it comes to preachers that preach from this particular book. It has to do with one of the plagues that God hit Egypt with when it came to the time of the release of the children of Israel. In Exodus chapter number 8, and I want to go ahead and begin reading at verse number 6. Verse number 6, Exodus chapter 8. Again, we appreciate all the good music and the attendance today. And now look with me at Exodus 8, verse number 6. The Bible says, "And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I'll let the people go, and that they may sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, Glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? And he said, Tomorrow. And he said, Be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God." Let's pray. Father, thank you today for this good day you've given us, Lord. Thank you now for the reading of your word. And bless now the preaching of the word of God today. I pray this morning, if there is anyone in this church service that has never trusted Christ as their Savior, Lord, I pray today that this would be the day that they come to Christ. I pray today, Lord, that the Word of God will challenge and minister to all of us that already know the Lord. Help us to pull from this passage something that we need today in our life and in our walk with God. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin this morning by simply mentioning that the 10 plagues that happened to Egypt at this time, when God had of course had already admonished Pharaoh through Moses to let the people go, and as Pharaoh began to harden his heart and as Pharaoh began to refuse God's command, then we know that 10 plagues were hurled against the land of Egypt as judgment for the rebellion on the part of Pharaoh. I'm sure you're aware of the fact that the 10 plagues upon Egypt was actually a judgment against the gods of Egypt. In other words, every single one of those plagues pertained to one of the idols that Egypt worshipped. The 10 plagues had to do with judgment against 10 gods. It was a battle against the gods of Egypt. For example, the Nile River was turned to blood. You know, when you study this out, you find out that the Nile River, of course, was the lifeblood of Egypt. The river was actually worshipped. It turned to blood. In this account, frogs covered the land. This was a judgment against the frog god. Egypt literally had a frog god, a god that they worshipped. And Egypt actually was not permitted, the Egyptians were not permitted to kill frogs. This was a judgment against the frog god. Then lice came upon the land. That was a part of the judgment. The earth god was judged. And then, of course, the cattle, the murrain that attacked the cattle, the plague that attacked the cattle. Even the cattle were worshipped. There was a god that to a bull. The bull was worshipped in Egypt. The second judgment here was the judgment of the frogs. The frogs literally covered the land. And this was a judgment against the frog god called Het. The god of Egypt called Het. They worshipped the frog god. As we look at this portion of God's Word this morning, I want to pull from two thoughts. If you're needing a title, let me give it to you. Not that the title is any better than what follows, but I'll throw the title at you. There may be some merit to it, but it's actually, here's the thought, take away the frogs. Take away the frogs. There have been many preachers that have preached a sermon on one night, one more night with the frogs. And of course, that usually pulls a little humor out of people, but it's actually true. In other words, as Pharaoh was approached, well, when do you want me to get rid of the frogs? And Pharaoh said, tomorrow. What's that? One more night with the frogs. But now let me break this down this morning and kind of outline my message today. First of all, let's talk about the plague. The plague. The plague of frogs. I don't know of a single person that I'm aware of in my lifetime that would love frogs to the extent that they would literally like to see frogs everywhere and in every place. There wasn't a single person in the land of Egypt outside of the reach of frogs. I read this passage and I decided no more frog legs for me. Imagine frogs everywhere. Frogs were found in people's houses. Frogs wound up in people's beds. Frogs were constantly croaking, and imagine the noise, constantly the croaking of frogs. Imagine the stench of dead frogs. Frogs would begin to die, and of course the stench would cover the land. I'm sure you all heard of the frog that fell off of the lily pad, didn't you? Well, it got towed in. That's it. Interestingly enough, the plague of the frogs reminds us of another plague. And I'm thinking of a plague far worse. I'm thinking of a plague this morning called sin. I'm thinking of a plague that's far spread and far wide. I'm thinking of a plague this morning that's far worse than any plague that's ever hit this earth. The plague of sin. Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse number 10, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. The Bible says, for from within the heart of man cometh evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, and murders. David said, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin, and my mother conceived me. The greatest plague today that's plaguing humanity is a plague of sin. The plague of sin. It has every person in its grips. It is a plague that carries a person to death. It is a plague that will eventually separate a soul from God forever unless that person by faith embraces the gospel of Jesus Christ. Going back to this passage in the plague, those frogs, the plague of frogs, the pagan theology of the time in Egypt prevented the killing of frogs. Imagine that. They could not even kill those frogs. Those frogs were everywhere, but no one could kill them because their pagan theology forbid that. Pagan mentality today is hurting the better good of human beings, even in our society today. I think of the animal rights people. I think of the environmentalists and the ridiculous laws that are working against us many times. The mentality, the pagan mentality today of religions, for example. There are religions today that forbid the eating of meat. There are religions today that have all kinds of things that they emphasize, and yet many of them do never mention the gospel. It's hurting people. The pagan theology. To give you an example of what I'm saying, you kill a snail dart or you kill a spotted owl, you could wind up in prison, but it's okay to kill babies. That's where we are. Sin is uncontrollable. Religion makes matters worse. Here's what I've wondered about when I read this passage. It says in verse number 7, the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought frogs upon the land of Egypt. I can't quite understand that. If those magicians were so good, why didn't they take the frogs away? They actually duplicated the frogs. That shows you how religions have things backwards. That shows you how religion is counterproductive. That shows you how religion works against the truth and works against the good. If those magicians had anything going for what they had, they would have used their enchantments and got rid of those frogs. Isn't it amazing? I've read that many times, never really thought about that. Take the frogs away, Pharaoh said. Just take them away. But let's wait until tomorrow. Sin is uncontrollable, though. Sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. And sin will cost you more than you want to pay. Take the frogs away. But wait until tomorrow. Wait until tomorrow. I'm willing to spend one more night with the frogs. That's basically what he said. One more night with those stinking frogs. One more night with that croaking. One more night with frogs in my bed. One more night with those frogs. How much of a lunatic could a man be? I'd want to get rid of them in a hurry, wouldn't you? People today make similar excuses. He said, take the frogs away tomorrow. Many people are saying, I'll get saved tomorrow. Many people are saying, I'll put off salvation until later. Then you begin to talk to some people and they'll begin to explain why they're holding back on God or why they do not want to get saved. You know, there are things that are keeping people from God. One of them is a pet sin, for example. I've known many people that would get saved, but they're holding on to a sin. There's a sin they love. There's something that they will not release their grips on. They're holding on to some kind of a sin. And they know that if they get saved, they'll have to give it up. Little do they realize, there's not a sin in this world worth losing your soul over. There's no sin so great that it should keep a person from God. What is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? Pet sins. Some people say, take the frogs away tomorrow, or wait until later. And many of them say, thinking in their own minds, I'm already good enough already. I think I'm good enough already. Believe it or not, there are people that think they're good enough already to get to heaven. And they come up with that conclusion because they're using the wrong resource for their standard. They are saying, I'm good enough to get to heaven because I'm not as bad as someone else that I know. Here's the solution to that. You'll get rid of that excuse in a hurry if you compare yourself to a righteous, holy God instead of to another sinful being. In God's sight, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and none of us are good enough to get to heaven in and of ourselves. We have to have our sins forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. So, take the frogs away tomorrow. I want to hold on to my sin a little longer. Take the frogs away tomorrow because basically I'm still good enough. Take the frogs away tomorrow because if I got saved, there's too much I'd have to give up. And that's holding some people back. There's too much I'd have to give up. I'd have to give up partying. I'd have to give up living in adultery rather than getting married. I'd have to give up drinking. I'd have to give up something else. And many times the list can go on and on. If I got saved, I'm not going to get saved because if I did, I'd have to give those things up. Do you realize when you get... Oh, you do realize it. Most of you know this. When you got saved, what you gained was far better than what you gave up. That's how that works. I look back upon my life before I got saved. There's not a thing that I did, everything combined that I did, that is any more wonderful and precious than knowing the Lord and knowing that when I die, I'll go to heaven and I have the peace of God and the peace with God. You can't put a premium on that. I would get saved, but I have too much to give up. Don't let that keep you from coming to Jesus Christ. Get rid of the frogs tomorrow. Then there are people that say, well, I'm as good as some people in that church that I know. You always find people like that. I'm sure that there's some people in the Smith Grove Baptist Church when you go, and boy, am I getting nosy now. I'd say if someone could follow you around all through the week, I'd say there's some here this morning that aren't as churchy looking through the week as you are now. I don't know of anybody this morning that I spoke to that threw out a bunch of cuss words when I was greeting them coming in. You'd be surprised what some Christians do through the week, though. And they're still quick to tell people they're saved. And that's not the direction of my message this morning. But when you look at church members sometimes, sure, yes, you do see some examples that aren't stacking up quite right. But the old adage is, if you're letting some hypocrite in the church to keep you from God, then you've in a sense, you've let that hypocrite be bigger than God. You're letting them stand between you and God. And by the way, come on to church. Join the crowd of hypocrites. We've all got some inconsistencies. Who here doesn't? I mean, that's just like the guy one time, preacher's preaching. He says, anybody in here perfect? He said, if you're perfect, he said, raise your hand. This one man raised his hand. Preacher said, do you mean tell me you're perfect? He said, no. He said, I'm raising my hand for my first wife. Here's the point. You can't look at the church and say, I would go to church, but I'm as good as some people that I know in that church. That is not worth losing your soul over. If you want to look at church members, why not look at some that are godly,
amen,
that are living the example, that are serving God faithful? I mean, the devil has you wrapped around his finger. When you let somebody in the church keep you from getting saved, it's not worth it. Can you imagine throughout eternity people saying, I'd be in heaven if I hadn't let some church member keep me from God? It's not worth it. It's not about squaring up and being like another church member. It's getting saved and getting right with God and not having to go to hell. That's what it's all about. Your soul is too important for that. Many are saying, take the frogs away. Take them away tomorrow. Some say, I would get saved, but I have to have a feeling of some sort. I've got to feel something. We're not saved by feeling, we're saved by faith in a fact. We're not saved by feeling good, we're saved by simply taking God and His Word. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved, whether you have any feelings or not. Just trust God and let God give you the feelings. You've heard that old poem I've sometimes used. Three men were walking on the wall, feeling faith and fact. Feeling took an awful fall and faith was taken back. Faith walked so close to feeling. It stumbled and fell too, but fact remained and pulled faith back, and faith brought feeling too. In other words, let God give you the feeling. Sometimes you certainly do feel good, but if you're waiting on a feeling in order to get saved, waiting for goose pimples, or whatever it is, waiting for sweat to break out, you can keep on waiting. But if you'll just trust God and get saved, then let God throw in some fringe benefits of feelings, but that's not what we're looking for. We're looking to get saved and go to heaven. That's what we're looking for. Pharaoh said, take the frogs away tomorrow. One more night with the frogs. Because of Pharaoh's refusal to comply with the command of God, he and his people were required to spend another night with the frogs. It's a dangerous thing to cling to sin. One day, cold, freezy, bitter cold day in Alaska, there's a dead carcass floating down one of the rivers in Alaska. And an eagle flew down on the top of that carcass to start eating from that dead carcass. But that eagle undoubtedly was not paying a lot of attention, or else that eagle thought that any time it wanted to, it could spread its majestic wings and fly away. But while that eagle was busy eating that dead carcass, the stream kept carrying that carcass and the eagle closer and closer to Great Falls. Finally, when that carcass reached the falls and was about ready to drop over, when the carcass reached the point of the falls where it was about ready to go over and be dashed into the waters below, the eagle decided it would now fly. But the problem was the temperature was so cold that the eagle's claws had frozen to that dead carcass. So the carcass and the eagle both were dashed. The eagle was dashed to its death as it went over the falls. When people cling to sin and cling to sin and say, "I'll wait until tomorrow," you don't realize how dangerous that is. In a spiritual sense, you may find yourself attached to that sin, and it may be too late. In this passage, we first of all notice the plagues. Secondly, we see the plea, "Take away the frogs." Take away the frogs. Examine that plea for just a moment. Pharaoh said, "Take away the frogs." He wasn't willing to deal with the root problem. He should have been desiring that his sin be taken away. Instead of asking that the frogs be taken away, he should have desired that his sin be taken away. He should have been more concerned in the thing that caused those frogs, the plague, the reason for the plague. He should have been concerned in that being taken away. But he said, "Take the frogs away." And many today are interested in temporal things being taken away, more so than things that affect eternity being taken away. Most people are quicker to pray that their poverty be taken away, that their sickness be taken away, and that their stress be taken away, than concerned about retaining the things that count forever. That's a legitimate concern because no one wants to suffer. But while Pharaoh was praying, "Take the frogs away," he should have been praying, "Oh God, take my sins away." Because after all, his refusal to let the people go was the reason why Egypt was plagued with frogs. It goes back to his sin problem. And that was a problem. He said, "Take the frogs away." He should have been saying, "Take away the things that brought on the frogs." In the book of Exodus, we see his heart was hardened. It needed to be softened. He should have been willing to comply with what God had said. In other words, "Let my people go." He is a good example of how many times corrupt leaders make the whole land suffer. Here we have Pharaoh refusing Moses, and we see the whole land suffering. Boy, doesn't that remind you today of modern politics? The whole land can suffer because of corrupt rulers, corrupt leaders. We see the plague. We see the plea. Then we see the procrastination. The procrastination. One more night with frogs. One more night with the frogs. Someone wrote, "One more night with the stinking frogs. One more night in sin. I had a terrible time with them last night, and I just got to do it again. Well, it will always be a puzzle to me, and I reckon it's all because while they could have sleep, rest in peace, but chose one more night with the frogs." One more night of misery. One more night of misery. Pharaoh could have been delivered from the plague, yet he asked that the plague be taken away tomorrow. What was he thinking? He was under a plague. He was being judged. And he said, I'll still wait until tomorrow. My question this morning to every person that could be in this building unsaved and lost without God is simply this. Why suffer any longer being under the plague of sin? Why torment yourself any longer? Why not have rest in your soul? Why not have peace with God? Why struggle? Why go through life making yourself old before your time? Why be miserable? Do you know that there remaineth a rest for the people of God? Do you know this morning you can have rest and peace in your soul? You don't have to spend one more night with the frogs. You can have the sins taken care of today. And you can know the joy of sins forgiven. I'll mention a date to all of us today that most of us maybe did not, haven't really remembered. I know we can't remember it, but haven't thought about an historical event. 1902. 30,000 people died on a French colonial island as a result of a volcano. 30,000 people. Just before the volcano erupted, there were all kinds of signs spewing forth a fire, all kinds of signs that the volcano was imminent. But the rulers of that city did nothing about it. They kept ignoring the warning signs. And finally, the great volcano erupted. 30,000 people were killed. One more night with frogs. Take them away, but wait until tomorrow. How many people think and plan on putting something off until tomorrow? I'll start dieting tomorrow. I'll start exercising tomorrow. I'll start reading my Bible tomorrow. I'll start praying tomorrow. I'll start having family devotions tomorrow. I'll start attending church more tomorrow. Tomorrow. Just give me one more night with the frogs. I read in the book of Acts, chapter number 24, verse number 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. Felix trembled and answered, go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Paul stood in the presence of Felix, and Paul gave Felix a witness, and Paul attempted to lead Felix to Christ. Felix said, go your way. I'm waiting for a convenient season. Give me one more night with the frogs. To our understanding, with what we understand about the Bible, Felix never found that time of opportunity. Felix never found that convenient time. And I'll tell you, it happens all the time today. You have church people that come to church services that hear a sermon and are thinking, tomorrow I'll get rid of the frogs. They're thinking, I'll wait until later. But later never comes. Because what happens is people die and we don't know the timetable for our death. We don't know. You think about it. Read the newspaper. How many young people's lives have been taken away recently as we've read and heard about events where young people have been killed? Whether car wrecks, tragedies of some sort? We don't know. But I'll tell you what is important. It's ready to have our bags packed and ready to go. We need to get rid of the frogs now. We need to get rid of the plague now. Not saying one more night with him. No, let's do it today. There's a Bible verse that says today is accepted time. Today is a day of salvation. And that's really important. Let's pray. Heads are bowed.